Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show. I'm not Will, but I'm doing the intro like Will as a tribute to Will. Will is here. Will isn't dead. We're going to talk about the NXT main event change. We're going to talk about the G1 climax reaching its finale. We're going to talk about Keith Lee, Madison Square Garden, and the promise that John Cena will unleash something new on us on the 1st of September. You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Show in association with TalkSport. How did I do, Will?
You did great, buddy.
I can't impersonate.
Don't let anyone tell you any different.
I can't impersonate you.
Yeah, well, don't try then. Do your own thing. All be right, your own man.
Next time I'm allowed to do the intro, I'll be my own man. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, no, we're not in the same place. You might be able to tell, because I'm in great quality and Will sounds like he's in a toilet. You're not in the toilet, are you?
No, I'm not in the toilet. I am in my front room. We were originally going to do this in, like, high quality, but from different places. And then the... that flamed out on us, unfortunately. But, it's all good. It's all good.
Life and technology always gets in our way, doesn't it?
Yeah, and look, first of all, is to apologise that this show isn't coming out until Saturday instead of our usual midweek show. And because of that, we're going to do kind of a shrunk down. There'll be no reviews, just a little news chat.
Yes.
And then we'll have two interviews for you. Nina Samuels, new NXT UK Women's Division member, and Travis Banks, the recently former Progress champion, he of dislocated shoulder fame from that horrible injury at Fight Club Pro. But we spoke to him over the opening weekend tapings of NXT UK as well. So we'll bring you both those interviews, a little bit of news chat, keeping it just a little bit stripped down this week.
Stripped down? Is that, you're speaking ever so slightly softly. It's like we're doing the pro wrestling. It's because we're doing the pro wrestling show after hours, like when they do like Love Island 2 or whatever they call it. Talking of Travis Banks, he kind of, I don't know if we talked about this last week, I can't remember, but he's kind of influenced this new rule that they've got where independent talent can't work for a week before NXT tapings, which must kind of hamper their bookings quite significantly.
Yeah, it's only affected one person for these upcoming events. I think that's because at the end of August with SummerSlam and everything else going on, quite a few people end up going out and working at the Access events at SummerSlam anyway. And they do lots of indie shows. It's similar to WrestleMania weekend. They do indie shows around it. And it essentially, it just means that going forward, they'll have to not be booked. The real kind of pain on it is the weekend before, the Saturday, Sunday, because obviously the weekends are where you get the bulk of your bookings. Everyone loves a midweek graps, but it's a pain, but you completely understand why they do it as well.
And maybe they'll sort of, you know, reimburse them as part of their contract with WWE for doing that. I guess, you know, it's got to work both ways, doesn't it? You know, they don't want them injured for the tapings, but they can't stop them working too much, surely. I don't know. Maybe they do.
Fair.
Who knows? We'll never find out. So, you know. Good.
I've just sent you, again on Travis Banks, I've just sent you our free match for this week. Because we've got Travis on the show, our free match this week comes from Rev Pro On Demand. They're doing a new thing, Free Match Fridays. So, you know, we might end up using a few of their shows. But their Free Match Friday this week is Travis Banks against Jay White from their Summer Sizzler last year. They're, this year's Summer Sizzler is coming up next Friday, August 17th. Tomoro Ishii is headlining, very exciting stuff. So, Summer Sizzler next weekend. There are still a few tickets available for that, Your Call, and they're in Southampton on the Sunday as well. David Starr is all working both events. But, yeah, Travis Banks against Jay White will be our next free match of the week. This week we had the Christopher Daniels against AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, the five-star triple threat in TNA. Lots of good feedback on that one. Matt Eddie said, holy sh! This is brilliant. I've never been a TNA fan, but I've often heard good things, although I believed people when they spoke so highly of Styles and Joe and TNA. This just emphasizes that, and Christopher Daniels was great too. Excellent recommendation. Who else came in? Such a great match, Stephen Adams. All the stars aligned for me. This was the high point of TNA. Alicia says, I think I watched this one when it happened live. Epic to rewatch it, though. Although there was one doubter coming in. Steve said, I preferred the match with Daniels and Joe, that time where Styles threw in the towel. Yeah, similar to what we saw with NXT and the tag change recently.
With Mustache Mountain.
Exactly, yeah. That one. Styles and Daniels, that was the story they were telling of those two and their friendship. And yeah, that was a good match. I don't think it lived up to the two triple threats. They had another one in 2009, which you can also find on YouTube. I don't think it quite lived up to those two matches. But what we will do this week is we won't talk about this week's Raw and SmackDown because there's not much to say.
No.
But we'll do the go-home shows this coming week and we'll do a big SummerSlam preview maybe Tuesday or Wednesday this week.
Sounds like a very good plan to me. Well, so that match then, Jay White versus Travis Banks, the Kiwi Buzzsaw versus the Switchblade, although he probably wasn't the Switchblade then, that is now pinned to our Twitter page. At Pro Wrestle Show, so you can find it really easily, and just watch it and tweet us what you think, like you've just heard those people do, because it's kind of cool to watch something all together, not at the same time, and discuss it. Really,
exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
It's like a community
Lovely.
Feel. It's like neighborhood watch, except a little bit more violent.
Neighborhood rest watch,
something like that. Neighborhood wrist watch. That's what it's okay. I know what you said now. Yeah, as I said it, I realised what you said. I'm quite tired. You might be able to tell from my voice, but let's crack on. I quite like the fact that they've obviously changed the NXT TakeOver main event. And I quite like that they've not just said Aleister Black's got a bad groin, he can't be in it. They've kind of made it into a story. They've kind of used that as a reason to create possibly another feud.
They've gone, who's run over Stone Cold with it, haven't they?
Yes.
What they brilliantly did was, I'm a big fan of that, but what they then did is they then released three videos on Twitter of three different perspectives of the attack. So two from NXT TV cameras who are based at different parts of the arena rushing to where the attack happened. One was filming a backstage bit with William Regal and he got the call that something had happened in the car park, so one followed him. The other one was in like the bus area and chased down when they heard something going on. And then one from the handheld camera view of I can't remember who it was now, actually.
I've not seen these. I didn't know they existed.
But what they've done is from each of them, they've teased. In the first one, you get, as William Regal's leaving the building, Johnny Gargano enters the building and kind of says, oh, sorry, like gets out of his way. In the second one, you see Tommaso Ciampa walking away with the title over his shoulder. While everyone else is running towards the incident, everyone else is walking away.
Yeah.
What I thought was quite interesting is that the third video shows Ricochet getting in his car and somebody goes, hey man, what's happened? And Ricochet's like, I don't know man, I'm just leaving, and gets in his car. And I think they're trying to tease that maybe it could be Ricochet as well and not actually one of the two people involved in the main event. And then if Aleister Black's injury isn't serious enough to keep him out longer term, you could see him, if Ricochet either wins the North American title next weekend or whether he loses it, you could see him going into a program with Aleister Black like they teased at the UK tapings maybe. So they might try and do a bit of a shock and surprise with it. I like it because it's just something different rather than just they're injured, we're going to have to make it.
It's making the best of a bad situation.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, there is a curveball, Will.
What's the curveball, John?
Curveball is the king of bros.
Oh, if Matt Riddle... So that's widely accepted
if you've not seen that Matt Riddle has allegedly signed a three-year contract. It's, you know, all the usual people reporting it. And when the sort of big names kind of confirm these things, then, you know, it's going to happen. He's obviously going to appear at TakeOver. But wouldn't it be good if he was standing at TakeOver, you know, in the crowd like Keith Lee was recently, but then something actually happens. It's interactive with that. I would like that.
And it's two martial arts guys. It's a nice first program for Matt Riddle to go into. Yeah, I like it. Interesting. Yeah. Have you seen that TakeOver is starting 1 hour earlier?
Yeah, longer.
Than the usual start time.
Yeah.
Now, looking at, they're not doing any extra matches as far as we're aware at the moment. Still Shayna Baszler against Kairi Sane, as we're aware about. Adam Cole against Ricochet, as we mentioned. Mustache Mountain getting their rematch for the tag championships. Velveteen Dream against EC3. And now, as we know, Tommaso Ciampa against Johnny Gargano in a last man standing match for the NXT championship. It's not how I wanted Gargano Ciampa 3 to happen. I did want it to be for the title. It just feels like the story could have been told over like another series of months building up to Survivor Series. But like you said, best of a bad situation. They've put on 2 5-star matches this year already. Now you're putting them in a last man standing match, you know, upping the ante further. I'm not a big last man standing match person.
No, nor am
I. You lose near falls, you lose part of the way of building the drama of a match. But if anyone's going to pull it off, these two will pull it off with aplomb. And I feel like the extra hour has been added just for those two.
That match could be an hour. Why not go beat David Starr's time? You know,
104 minutes. You want them to go for nearly 2 hours?
Well, I think, yeah, that would probably get a little bit tedious. But it'd be all right. I mean, like, basically, I want Matt Riddle. If Matt Riddle is, as we think, going to be involved in NXT, I want Matt Riddle to be involved from the start. I don't want him to sort of start out doing sort of, you know, exhibition matches or whatever. I want him to be involved in it straight away. And maybe... they're so desperate to get him, he's negotiated this kind of thing. And he's like, no, I want to be in it straight away. And I don't want to wear shoes. And I want to smoke weed.
All of the list of demands.
Yeah.
The Matt Riddle rider.
It's like transfer deadline day. He could really push it towards the end of the window because they needed to get him in. And then obviously, Aleister Black getting injured. They're like, oh, we've got to go back to him. We're going to have to let him do the shoes thing. Yeah.
Let's the only other bit from WWE I wanted to mention this week was Keith Lee's debut in NXT.
Did you bask?
We've bigged this up a lot.
Yes.
And I was slightly disappointed.
Why were you slightly disappointed?
So they put him up against Marcel Bartel, apparently is how they're pronouncing it, formerly Axel Dieter Jr. of Ringkampf, yes. Friend of our favourite Volta. Who has not had a lot of time in NXT due to injuries, etc., but was pretty over with the crowd already. And yes, Keith Lee ends up beating him, but I want Keith Lee to be thrown in there with a proper developmental talent who he can just destroy, run through his signature offense, look really impressive, and then walk away. But instead, they had this kind of odd 50-50 match where Keith Lee ended up dominating, but not really. Mm. And it was kind of... it was just a weird match. It didn't quite come together in the right way. And like, we know what Keith Lee's capable of, and I'm sure we're going to see a lot of how brilliant he is. This was just a bit of a weird introduction, I thought.
It does, but yeah, I think when they brought other talent through, they have done that, where they've just kind of come out, they've had the big entrance, they've had the big build-up, they've won easily, and everyone loves them. And yeah, you're right with that. And yeah, I wonder why they've done that.
Big old squishy squashy.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. On the note of WWE, Mae Young Classic has obviously been filmed this week. Which, I mean, we're not.
Oh, Tegan Knox. Poor Tegan Knox.
We're not going to spoil anything other than the fact that Tegan Knox, who has had a lot of injuries before and quite serious injuries.
Look at you calling her by her WWE name.
Say again.
Said, look at you calling her by her WWE name.
Well, she's always Nixon Newell to me. You know, as a fellow Welsh pretender.
Hero.
Yeah, they still haven't really confirmed what she's done, have they? I think Triple H came out at the filmings and lots of people are tweeting saying he thinks that she's broken a leg. against Rhea Ripley, and but then obviously like they've kind of kept it quiet because obviously they don't really want to talk too much about the results because they want people to watch it and kind of not spoil it for themselves.
Yeah.
And she's come out and written a big thing, and obviously people are giving her loads of support, and obviously the UK indies that she's worked with before are. But it's just really bad luck, and probably very gutting for her.
Yeah, 100%. Devastating from someone we thought. I thought she'd go at least through the first round. I know who Rhea Ripley then went on to face because she didn't get through the first round against Rhea Ripley due to the injury. And apparently had a really good match with the person she had in the second round. I mean, it's a bit of a weird one this year for the Mae Young Classic. And I'm not spoiling anything because I don't actually know any of the results.
Okay.
But I'm so convinced that when you go out and you sign the best women's wrestler in the world in Io Shirai, and then put her straight into something like the Mae Young Classic, which apparently she was scheduled to win last year until an injury prevented her from making a WWE debut, I suspect she's going to win it.
Yeah. I know some of the results. Who do you think's going to get through? I think they've only done up to the quarterfinals, haven't they? I think, so far. Who do you think's going to get through?
Oh, I haven't. Well, I haven't really looked at the field.
Let's think about the people we know from the UK scene. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just interested to know what you think.
I think Tony Storm and Ginny should both do reasonably well because they want to put over the UK division. So
yep.
I would see them both as likely quarterfinalists, if not semi-finalists.
Can I smash your dream and tell you that they faced each other in the first round?
Oh my God, what?
Yeah, I was annoyed about that as well. I won't tell you who won, but I'm pretty annoyed about it. Because
yeah,
we want to see them both do well and they've just gone, nah, sorry, not today. Oh.
I mean, it kind of adds to my feeling. Well, no, because saying this is probably going to, will probably give away who I think. No,
I think we both know who out of those two is likely to get pushed first.
So other people I think will do well. I think Meiko Satomura will do well because, again, big signing from Japan. I think Deonna Purrazzo will do well because, you know, they've pulled her off the all-in card to go into the Mae Young Classic.
Yes.
They can't, like, it's like you were saying about Matt Riddle, incentives needed.
Also,
to make that.
Marty Scurll was at one of the filmings.
Oh, really?
Well, he tweeted a picture. I mean, he Instagram storied a picture, unless someone sent him a picture and he's Instagram storied it. But yeah, I mean, like, he was in Florida with her on Instagram, so why wasn't he there?
There you go.
Interesting.
On that point, Ring of Honor, New yes. Japan, G1 Supercard at Madison Square Gardens on the 6th of April, the day before WrestleMania, has sold out. That's
nuts.
Obviously going up the same night against NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 5. Are they going to call it that? Because surely it's going to be in Brooklyn when they do the... Well, that's going to be weird. They're going to have an extra one in Brooklyn, despite the fact they always do one in Brooklyn every year anyway. But sorry, I'd never really thought about that before.
Just hit you, isn't it?
12,000 tickets in pre-sale. Now, apparently 18,500 seats is the approximate, and they say they have sold it out. Joe Koff, the Ring of Honor CEO, we're humbled and appreciative of our fans and their belief and support of Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling. All we can say is thank you. Look, it's obviously a big deal. It's going to be, it's Ring of Honor's biggest ever crowd. And the fact they're doing it with New Japan obviously makes a big difference towards that. But I do think we have to take some context with it and say, would they sell out Madison Square Garden in a midweek card in the middle of October? It's Mania weekend. All of the nerds are going to descend on New York anyway. That's what they want to go and see. They won't all get tickets for TakeOver because it's a much smaller venue than Mania itself. I think I'm not surprised it sold out. Maybe that it sold out so quickly, and it is still great for them. I don't want to take away from it. It is cool, but I also don't want to make out that absolutely game-changing for indie wrestling.
Well, I think All In was maybe a little bit more of a surprise because obviously that is just a standalone event, you know?
all 12,000 people, all 10,000 people are all in, will probably all be at the Ring of Honor New Japan card as well.
I mean, like, those weekends where there's the big events on, there's more marks there than, like, on a 10-year-old rental car. So, like, it's Mark Town. They should change the name of Brooklyn to Mark Town. which is, you know, it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's good.
By the way.
Yeah.
Did you see how much All In is costing on pay-per-view?
No, I actually haven't. I've seen that it's on pay-per-view. I don't know which one it's on in the UK. Like, I'm so confused by it all.
So it's on Fights TV, the same people who are doing, as we mentioned last week, who are doing the Ring of Honor stuff here in the UK.
Right.
Now, pay-per-view events in America are a lot more expensive.
They really are. UFC's mental.
Yeah, and it's the culture, and it's the idea is that if you're going to buy it at home, you're going to have a viewing party, so the fact you're paying $100 for the HD version of UFC isn't actually that bad because you split it between you and all your buddies. But, you know, over here, if you're paying anything more than £20 for a pay-per-view event, you're not happy about it, are you?
Pretty price, isn't it?
So it will be $39.99 for US viewers. And £38 for people in the UK.
Oh, it's like when you buy anything from Apple now. They've kind of made the prices fairly similar, haven't they? Wow, that sucks.
Yeah. I think it's been a really bad PR move for them.
I would have...
Because they initially advertised it at £17. People bought it at £17. And they've gone, oh, no, we put the wrong price up.
Oh, dear.
I think that there's various different internet forums who think different ways about whether or not they're going to honour that original £17 price. Some have had £38.99 appear on their bank statement. Others have had £17 appear on their bank statement. But yeah, it's not good, is it?
Depends how tech savvy you are. Maybe you could engineer the option to pay in dollars by masking your IP.
Why are you suggesting such things? Oh, we have never done these things.
All I'm saying is I've heard there's technology which allows you to do that.
You just wanted to mention John Cena before we quickly mention G1 Climax and get to our interviews.
I do want to mention John Cena. It has been announced at the big Melbourne WWE Super Show at the MCG that John Cena will face Kevin Owens. And I was just wondering, because I don't know if I care. Do you care, Will?
I mean, they had a really good rivalry for a while, and they're both good wrestlers, and I think they'll put a good match on, so that's all good.
But it's in Melbourne, and that's...
And, and it means watching wrestling at like 7 in the morning, which was fun when we did it from Japan, so...
So actually, we do care.
Yeah. Not that much, though.
No. Well, there's also the John Cena thing, which you just... I didn't know about this. What have I done with my life this week? I don't know. that John Cena is preparing to unleash a hot new move on us.
And he's going to add a sixth move of doom.
And I just said to you off before we start recording this that I would love for it to be something really tongue-in-cheek and actually, like... The Worm, or something, just something stupid, novelty. But apparently he's teased that it's going to be something martial arts based.
Yeah, martial arts based, because it's happening in Shanghai at their big show in China, and he's been training out there with some martial arts specialists, and yeah, you know.
Right.
Whatever.
So we're kind of deciding that it's going to be, if it's martial arts, it's going to be some kind of UFC style thing. It'll just be an armbar like everyone else is doing right now.
Yeah,
Ronda
probably.
Rousey, armbar. Becky Lynch. I feel sorry for Becky Lynch. She did the armbar. I mean, like, technically Ronda Rousey did the armbar for real, probably before Becky Lynch. But in WWE, you know, she suddenly lost her armbar, isn't she? Didn't Oscar do an armbar as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, why? Yeah, okay, so I mean, like, answers on a postcard. If you think you know what Cena's going to unleash at Pro Wrestle Show, just fire ideas at us. I'd like to think it's some kind of high flying thing because he doesn't really do that. We know he's dropped a bit of weight. He posted a picture of himself with longer hair, which is the weirdest thing. And he's been like doing a new training plan, and he's got all lean. So, you know, maybe he's doing some high flying shiz.
high-flying shiz. We should very quickly mention, because it's only quickly mentionable due to the fact that the Block B finales will be happening probably before we even manage to get this thing uploaded. But the G1 climax all comes to a climax on Sunday night. We know that it's going to be, on one side of things, Hiroshi Tanahashi. He had to get at least a draw in his final Group A match against Okada. He ended up going all the way to the 30 minutes. Tanahashi hit a high fly flow off the top. Okada kicked out as time expired. It was a brilliant match, close to a five-star match, but great history, obviously, between those two. But Tanahashi does make it through to Sunday's final, where he'll face, because the way Block B is set up, any of Ibushi, Naito, or Kenny Omega. Naito goes against Zack Sabre Jr., who's actually on the same points as him, 2 points behind the two leaders. But because of the way it works out, Zack Sabre Jr. can't actually win it. So Naito faces Zack Sabre Jr., Ibushi faces Kenny Omega, and whoever comes out on top will face Tanahashi on Sunday. It promises to be really special, so go and watch it. But that's about all we can say, because by the time you're listening to this, you'll probably already know who the finalist is.
I was going to say, very quickly, who do you think is going to be in the final? And B, my thoughts on it are any of them would make an amazing match anyway, so who cares?
I've been backing Ibushi for a while.
Okay.
But obviously, they like the idea of having the champ at Climax, maybe putting the title on the line. I think it makes it more predictable if that's what happens. So I think it'll be... My wife is just pointing something out to me in the garden while we're in the middle of recording, and I just realised that I stopped and that I'd forgotten we were recording because I'm doing this on my phone. I just basically forgot what we were doing.
You think you were on the phone to me?
Yeah, basically.
Great. It's nice to know that you'd give less of a toss that I was on the phone than if you were recording a podcast. Good.
I'd like Ibushi to win.
Yes.
Because I'd like Ibushi against Omega for the title further down the line at Osaka Joe Hall.
Fine. Okay, good. Well, as you say, this might have all happened already, but yeah, good. I don't have a preference. I think it will just be really good anyway, because all these people that you're mentioning are really good. I'm so easily pleased this week, Will. I'm just tired.
Come on. You're tired. I need to get on with my life. Yes. Let's get to our interviews.
Go on. We'll,
which way around do you want to go?
I'm going to let you choose.
Oh, of course you are. Cop out. Yeah. We'll start off with Nina Samuels.
And you would be Nina Samuels. No, it's because I thought you'd go for Nina Samuels first. It's fine. It's good.
You're ridiculous.
Right. Delighted to welcome Nina Samuels on. So, Nina, how are you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, no, delighted to have you. And well, I guess, first of all, you wrestled night one at the NXT UK tapings. What's that?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. I was so excited to hear that I was going to be on night one and be on show one as well. So really exciting. Wrestled Toni Storm as well. So she was one of the first girls that I ever wrestled when I started wrestling, and vice versa when she first came over from Australia. I was one of the first girls she worked with. So quite nice to sort of bring it full circle and be the first women's match there on NXT UK. So really exciting.
How did your kind of wrestling journey start then?
My wrestling journey almost kind of started by accident. I was a dancer initially, so I was a professional dancer for about 4 years. But I'd always watched wrestling grow up. I was sort of brought up by my two older brothers. So when people ask me what age I started wrestling, it's pretty much from about birth, or even though I wasn't really taking it in much at the time. So I've always grown up with wrestling in the house, but never really saw it as something that you could do. To me, it was always, oh, this is what they do in America. So that's why it's so great now that we've got this platform here. So everyone can see that we do have a great platform here at British Wrestling. So then I think it was after about 4 years of dancing, I just sort of was steadily feeling like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm really fitting in here. I wanted to do my own thing. I always liked putting all this style and all this energy in it. And dancing is very much about fitting in with the lineup. And then I was just watching wrestling one evening, and just for some reason, probably exhaustion after doing about 14 auditions in 11 days, just like, oh, I might give that a go, as you do. Gave it a go. I was like, wow, kind of feels natural. Feels like this is what I should have been doing this whole time. So that was about 4 years ago, and it's, you know, just blown up ever since, and the industry's grown in that time as well. So super exciting time to be a part of it.
I think it is particularly interesting, the UK women's scene and how that's grown over recent years, because I can remember going to indie shows 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. And if every other show you had one women's match, that was kind of surprising. And now there's pressure on them to have 2 or 3 a show.
Yeah, exactly. And we have like, you know, there's wrestling promotions that are all women. So you have all women shows and, you know, we sold out like a 700-800 seater venue on an all women show. So it's amazing that it's getting this platform that I feel like it deserves now. And it's great for us women as well, because we're not just the token match on the show, and it's not just, oh, we're in the women's spot. Like, it's all part of the show. And, you know, there's multiple women's matches, multiple segments, multiple storylines. So it's really, really exciting.
I'll tell you, the first couple of times I saw you wrestle, and one of them's the show you've just mentioned, York Hall.
Yeah.
ladder match, an unbelievable ladder match as well at
Thank
Wrestle
you.
Queen. And I think it's really interesting. We're at a time right now where WWE, on the kind of main product, is mm-hmm. being very proud of these firsts Hell yeah. in a Cell, first Money in the Bank match, first going on. And I think it's kind of, it's more a statement than a question, but it's great to see that actually it's wrestling on an equal and actually doing the booking and everything is the same yeah. as it would be if it was a men's ladder match. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. You're not being shied away from doing these extreme matches. You know, in WWE, they had the first ever women's Money in the Bank match. And then we had, you know, a similar sort of storyline with our ladder match. So it was great being a part of that, my first ladder match. So nervous, but I think we pulled it off. I think it went well. And similar to like what you're saying is being held up in equal regard as the men. What was nice is there was a big show on the other side of town on the same day, and a lot of the male wrestlers would then come over to watch our show afterwards and, you know, really enjoy themselves. And it was nice that they took the time. You know, they were really tired. They'd already done a show. They could have just gone back to the hotel. But it's nice that they came. They wanted to support us. And that's what's nice, I think, is that British wrestling now has such a supportive atmosphere. Everyone wants everyone to do well, which is why the scene has grown as well as it has done.
I'll tell you, day two, the show you're mentioning is Progress Super Strong Style. Yeah. Day two, not only did Jim mention your show in the ring, but actually yeah. the buzz around the room before the show started was, did you go to Pro Wrestling? Oh my God, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it kind of shows that I think there has been it's gradual, it takes time, but mm-hmm. the change in attitudes and change in culture is starting to come through.
Yeah, people are working together, people are supporting each other, which is really, really nice to see.
I wonder if we had actually the guys from Pro Wrestling Eve in the studio recently. We were talking about influences on female wrestlers, because there weren't a lot of strong female kind of role models in the yeah. WWE brand. If you go through kind of the 80s, 90s, mm-hmm. there's one or two you can pick out. And you speak to a lot of women wrestlers and they'll actually cite male wrestlers as the people that they kind of fell in love with and wanted to emulate. So who was it for you? Who were the influences as far as you were concerned?
When I was younger, I was always a Bret Hart fan.
Great.
So it's quite funny because at the time I hated Shawn Michaels with a passion because I just watched it purely as a fan, not from being a wrestler. So like, whereas now I grow up and watch back, I'm like, he's amazing. But clearly he did his job well at the time, because me as a young girl watching as a fan hated his guts. So yeah, I loved Bret Hart. I loved British Bulldog because to me it was, you know, oh, this is someone from Britain who's done this. So that was great. But for me, it was, you say there weren't many women. I was awestruck by Lita as soon as Lita came about, because I was like a bit of a tomboy at the time when I was younger, and I think she sort of represented that for me. You know, she was hanging out with the boys and she was getting in the ring with the boys, doing all these crazy moves, doing these moonsaults. So to me, that was, I really looked up to her, and she was like an inspiration for me growing up. Not at the time an inspiration wanting to be a wrestler, because as I said, wasn't something that registered for me, but just as a character and everything she did. That was, I just wanted to be Lita. Like, I just thought she was the absolute coolest.
I wanted to be Lita, so that's yeah. fine. I get it. I absolutely get it. The other match, I said there was a couple of matches that kind of alerted me to you mm-hmm. personally, was at the Progress 1978 show, where they
oh yeah
didn't advertise any women's matches. Then you and Isla came out and did the whole kind of bit about let us wrestle. And, mm-hmm. and yes, there was a comedy element to it, but actually also I thought it was interesting how it highlighted how much things have changed. Do you feel like there is, even now that the culture is changing, you still have to, I don't know, there has to be a higher standard almost, because people still look at it and go, oh, it's women's wrestling, not...
Yeah, absolutely. I think going out there as a women's match, especially if you're the only women's match on the show, there's some promotions where there's still a stigma about it and they'll still treat it as the women's match. So I think the only thing we can do is go out there and try and have the best match on the show. Like, that's... that's the goal. You have to go out there and set the standard higher. So even if you're, like, say, your second match on the show, you're like, no, I'm going to go out there like we're going to have the best match on the card. There was a stretch, it was a match with me and Tony years and years ago on like a smaller promotion before women's wrestling was sort of getting that much bigger. And the promoter sort of always jokingly told us off, like, what? You're the women's match. You just went out and had the best match of the night. You're not allowed to do that. That's not what you do. I mean, said in a jokey sort of way, but even that sort of shows like how things have changed.
It's funny. I, like, even though I'm sitting here and I'm saying I think the culture has changed, mm-hmm. At Wednesday night at the show in at Camden, there was still almost a surprise that prior to the main event with the title change, and that was obviously what the mm-hmm. buzz was afterwards. Prior to that, the best match on had been that number one contenders match with Tony. There are still some people like, oh my God, that's incredible. I'm like, hold on, they've been doing this for years. We've seen how good this is.
Yeah, wow. they had a match last year that was like one of the best matches I saw of all of last year. So it wasn't a surprise. Wasn't a surprise to me, but yeah, brilliant match. And I think that's the great thing. You do still get some people that say, like, oh, for a women's match, that was really good. But a lot of the time it will still be held up as, you know, people can say, oh, that was the best match of the night and it will have been a women's match. And so it's taking time. It's not going to happen overnight, but I'm really happy with how the direction of it is going as to how well women's wrestling is being accepted and it's sort of steadily being treated on the same sort of level.
And the level of talent in NXT UK is incredible. From yourself through, we mentioned Isla, mm-hmm. Ginny, Tony, there's girls we haven't seen yet who we'll see tonight. Will continue to show people.
Charlie Morgan, who debuted on the Albert Hall show as well, so an amazing talent as well. So we're really lucky that we've got a really great division. So I think moving forward, we're so lucky and we're really excited to absolutely knock it out of the park and show why we're such a great women's division and show how good women's wrestling can be.
How did your first kind of contact with WWE, how did they first come to you and approach and give you the idea that this was a possibility?
That was sort of earlier on in the year. My first contact with WWE was 4 years ago when I was literally only been wrestling about a month or two. I got the opportunity to be a Rosebud, which was really, really exciting. So that was very surreal. I was like, I've only been doing this a few months and I'm going out there at the O2. So that was really cool. Then I had a tryout about a year and a half later. So I think because I had a contact there, I just every now and again send match footage, say, oh, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm working on. But, you know, it's a case of timing, what they're looking for at what time. And then it just sort of happened to be the right time that they're doing this. And, yeah, really flattered that they wanted me to be a part of it and really, really, really excited. So it's sort of been a very quick process, you know, sort of a few months ago. It's all just sort of suddenly spiraled. And now it's this new brand, which, you know, is really exciting to be a part of.
And as much as we talk about culture change mm-hmm. and the positivity towards women's wrestling, there is still an issue with the number of bookings not matching up and the number of opportunities not matching up. When it's come to your relationship with WWE at the moment, have they said anything to you about, we've heard about the men's not being able to wrestle in certain promotions and only being able to wrestle with certain people. At the moment, have they given you any kind of restrictions, or are you just go off and keep learning and then come back to us better? Or
yeah, so at the moment I'm quite fortunate that, you know, there's a lot of promotions I can still work for, so I can still keep honing my craft, keep getting match experience, keep getting my name out there, which is really nice. It's nice to have the opportunity to be able to do both. So, you know, it's nice for them to have that freedom with us, so we're not, you know, tied down as much as some of the people are in the US, because, you know, we all love British wrestling so much, so we like being able to go and work all these different places. So it's nice that we still get a chance to do that.
And the final question, because I know you've got to go off and get your bus. Evolution announced this last week on Raw, yes. First ever women's pay-per-view. What was your reaction when Stephanie McMahon made that announcement?
I was speechless, because obviously, because they're timed in the US. That's the first thing I see when I wake up in the morning. It's amazing. And I think the timing is so right, because the women have kept being given these opportunities of being the first this, the first that. So I think they've shown that, you know, we can handle this spotlight now. And it's great that all these different brands are going to be featured as well. So it's going to feature, you know, the Mae Young Classic final, an NXT match, NXT UK women's match. So absolutely buzzing for it and really, really hoping I get a chance to be involved. Even if I don't, I'm so excited to just watch it and to see them celebrate women's wrestling so much.
Well, that was it. I mean, I was going to say, they've said there's going to be an NXT UK women's match, and you mentioned the Mae Young Classic. Are you involved in the Mae Young?
I'm not in the Mae Young Classic.
So, no. I mean, but there's still that opportunity with NXT UK.
Yeah, exactly.
So from not being on WWE 3 months ago to being a pay-per-view could happen in the next few months.
Exactly. It's, so surreal to think how much things have changed and how much things have evolved, no pun intended. So really, 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 really excited about it.
Awesome stuff, Nina. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Delighted to welcome Travis Banks onto the show. Trav, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm feeling great.
First of all, because people who follow our show follow the indies, a lot of them were there on Wednesday and on Friday. So how's the shoulder feeling?
It's okay, to be fair. It's seen better days. As I was just telling you before, I had to get put to sleep to get it put back in. It was pretty bad. But this is the job sometimes. So, yeah. Okay.
I mean, timing-wise, obviously, difficult, but I think it was, and obviously we're not giving away any spoilers about the tapings, but you were involved on the first night and got a great reaction anyway, and how was all that for you?
When I came out, I actually totally forgot about the injury. When I heard the crowd, I was just like, let's go, let's do this. And as I was running, and I was like, oh, just remember about the shoulder. In the back of my mind, I was like, remember about the shoulder. So, it was great to hear the reaction of the crowd. It was unbelievable, and made a little bit bittersweet also as well. Just wanted to get in and get involved.
Yeah, I can imagine. But, there's time. That's the main thing. There's still plenty of opportunities. I want to ask for you, coming to the UK initially and getting your first opportunities at wrestling, how did that come about as a Kiwi coming out here and getting involved in the UK scene?
Oh, well, we're going to take it back a little bit.
It's the early days of NXT UK, so people want to know a bit more about people's backgrounds.
So in 2013, even before that, I started in New Zealand, obviously. There wasn't much wrestling at all or sports entertainment in New Zealand at all. And I started working in Australia. I went to Japan for 01, and then I needed to get out again, so I went to America. And when I was in America, I trained with a wrestler called Davey Richards. And when I was with him, I met Pete Dunne and Mark Andrews. Unbeknownst to me at the time how much of an important role they'd play for me in the future, but I met them, and then I was sort of back home in New Zealand, humming and what to do with my career, and then I gave Pete a message and I said, hey, I'm thinking about coming to the UK. Can you help me out? And he said, come over. We'll look at you for Attack Pro Wrestling and stuff like that. So I came over, no bookings. They didn't promise me anything. And then literally I just came here with no bookings, nothing, just about $1,000 in my savings, £1,000 in my savings. And I was like, I'm determined to make it work. And then I got here and I started working with Tyson T-Bone, sort of going around putting up rings with him, just ring jobs, putting up rings at shows, saying hello, making connections. And the first 2 months were the hardest. I think I might have got down to about 50 pounds in my savings. So it was a little bit scary, but those were my early days. And then I think it might have been Fight Club Pro that gave me my first big break, and I had a match with Zack Sabre Jr. It was an opening match, and we went 38 minutes.
Wow.
Got a standing ovation, and I remember after that match, everything started rolling along, and the buzz started picking up after that. So those are the early days. Tyson T-Bone was a big part. Mark Andrews, Pete Dunne, those guys were a big part. So,
And now,
getting to work alongside Mark and working with Pete and working with these guys in a WWE ring. Like, did you ever think that 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
I remember just sitting in the locker room the other day thinking, wow, there's so many people from my past that have come back to, like, and it's just now the norm, or like so many people have played an intricate or integral role in what I do. Like, it's really surreal, but I guess also not so surprising that everybody's here and we're all making it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, my first memories of seeing you were in a progress ring with TK, the South Pacific Power Trip. And what I remember really specifically is the moment where TK and Dali were leaving that night, the reaction you guys got as they were, as it was, that was going to be their last show. Visa reasons meant they had to go back to New Zealand. And it was amazing to see if for a British crowd just how over you guys were by that point. And I can't imagine how great it was for you to see something like that.
It was awesome because I actually had a big hand in training TK and Dahlia. So to have a moment like that where the crowd was so appreciative of all of us was amazing for me personally. But also a culmination of so much hard work and so much stress and frustration of us trying to just get to a platform that could, like, show us to the world, and that's what progress gave us. And then for them to then, their visas run out, and it all seemed to, like, oh my goodness, what are we gonna do? Like, obviously it worked out in the end, but at the time it was just a real, like, upsetting and frustrating experience.
Well, because it is weirdly bittersweet, I guess, because first of all, the moment they return, that was unbelievable. Wow. However many months that was later, but actually what we then got from you is we'd seen you as Indy Marks as a great tag wrestler. Yeah. But finally in progress, we saw you got a really strong singles run off the back of that. Yeah. And we all know where that then progressed to, pardon the pun. So, like, it's got one of those things, it's making an opportunity out of what must have been a difficult situation.
Yeah. As much as I love tag wrestling, singles has always been, like, my bread and butter. Like, I always like to be, like, in control of the situation for myself. You like this one?
Keep going. I'll get it to work again, or I won't, and we'll just have it in the dark. That's fine. I
don't So yeah, as soon as, like, progress said to me, you know, this is a horrible situation. This is a horrible situation with TK and Dahlia, but this is where we want to go with you. I was just like, yes, this is exactly what I want. This is what I came to the UK for. I wanted to show the world what I can do as a singles wrestler. So,
and then you pick up the title, go on what ends up being the second longest run in progress history.
Controversial run.
But that's what I'm particularly interested by, that kind of juxtaposition, because you were so over in as a tag wrestler, and then you get in singles, you get the title, and at what point they say to you, right, we're going to give you a run at being a heel, being a villain?
Well, I didn't think I had much choice with the way the fans were treating me, but And to be honest, like, I didn't do anything different. I wrestled the same. Like, even when I was a bad guy, I still wrestled the same. And people just flip-flop on their decision there. They were like, well, when Pete Dunne had the title, they were like, oh, there's too much shenanigans. We want a real wrestler. And then I came along, the real wrestler. And they were like, no, we don't want this anymore. We want something else. So I tried to give them that. And they're like, we don't want this anymore. So it was... At first, it kind of bothered me a little bit, but then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to run with this. I'm going to have as much fun as I can and see where we can take the title. So,
and that's it. Yeah. It looks like you were having fun. Like, I think about really like Super Strong Style, the promos you were cutting there, and it was just like, this is a different human being to the one I was watching 18 months ago.
Yeah. That's probably more closer to my personality, just trolling people a little bit, I guess. Trying to get a rise out of people was probably one of my favorite things with the progress wrestling title. So
I love the idea of, like, people being naturally inclined, being either a heel or a face, and, like, playing against your type. But actually, like, I always thought, and every wrestling fan's always thought what they would do, but I always thought being a heel would be a lot more fun. I just thought you could do a lot more with it, and like you say, shenanigans isn't necessarily a bad thing if it's done the right way.
I think if it's entertaining and it's getting a reaction, I think it's a good thing. So, and look at the payoff with Wednesday and stuff like that. So,
and Wednesday was unbelievable. Both for, I mean, it was a great match anyway, and having TK and having Tyler coming back and getting involved as well. But Walter isn't ridiculous talent. He's the first guy to hold the Progress, PWG, and WXW championships. Yeah. No one's ever done that before. So,
Actually, is there a little bit of like, okay, I'm going to drop it, but at least it's going to...
A little bit, but I also worry for Walter that he will, the fans will then turn on him as well. But I'm sure he is a professional. He can deal with it as I have. So,
how tough is it going into? Because you're a tough guy and you've quite an aggressive style. Mm. But going up against someone that big who is going to be going so big with the moves, and what does that challenge represent?
Actually, when I very first started training, everybody that trained with me were massive guys. So I'm actually used to it. And to be honest, I prefer more of a physical style of match. The harder I get hit, the more energy I'll exert, sort of thing. And I think the crowd will feed off that more. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I like it. I enjoy being beaten up a little bit, as you can tell by the shades of my chest coming out of most matches.
Well, I was thinking, coming to the UK, that's why it was ideal for you. Tends to be kind of smaller guys, tends to be, but no, you want to get slapped about, no, so that's fine. Tell me a little bit about your WWE, your NXT UK journey. How did they first kind of approach you? When did it first become a reality that this might happen for you?
I think the very first time I met William Regal, and he may have floated the idea in my head, it was at a Hope show, and I wrestled Joseph Connors in the opener, and it was the very first time he seen me. And then since then, he'd just been in contact continuously, like nothing to do with maybe being a part of WWE, but I just felt now I had that connection, I was getting a little bit closer to it. And then I think we went out to Orlando and we did Access. It was me and TK, and we wrestled I wrestled like Mark and Wolfgang on Access. And then I thought, okay, I'm getting a little bit closer. But at no point did I ever truly think it might actually happen. And then I did Access last year, it might have been. And then, and I wrestled Noé Jose as the Progress World Champion, which is quite a surreal experience. So I'm going to win in the WWE as a Progress World Champion over Noé Jose. I thought that was quite awesome. But then after that Access, they gave us the nod that this might be a reality. And obviously, since the first NXT Championship, everybody's like vying for those positions. But then it all became a reality. Like, it just sort of happened, and I was like, oh wow, this is actually happening now.
Is that kind of a buzz on the indie scene when that first tournament happened? And obviously, you've got the 16 guys who got to do it, but then everyone's like, right, what do I need to do to grab my opportunity?
Definitely. I was sitting with British Strong Style the next day after the tournament. We were sitting in some restaurant, and I was just watching their phones just continuously lighting up, and I was like, that's where I need to be, right there, my phone constantly draining battery. But it was definitely a buzz, and I think it opened a lot of guys' eyes that making it isn't that far away, or if we work a little bit harder, it's not that far away now, and our dreams can actually become a reality. If for some reason I feel before this, everybody thought it was out of arm's length, but now it's like, it's right there. And a lot of guys, well, as you can see with all the Australian, New Zealand talent coming over, trying to follow what I've done, which I've helped them come over and stuff. I think they think it as well. And I think it's a massive inspiration for every independent wrestler that they can make something of it.
Who is there from New Zealand, Australia that we should be aware of, those kind of Antipodeans who are coming out here and that you're helping get out here?
I'm sure you're aware of most of them. Aussie Open, those two guys. There's a new guy who's been wrestling in CMLL Mexico called Niwa. He's just come over. He's my best friend. I started with him. So probably those two more than anything, those three guys more than anything. They're like really hard workers. So I'd put those guys over.
We saw Kyle wrestle with when they did the New Japan Rev Pro shows in Milton Keynes, and the reaction was just incredible. And again, when you follow these guys and when you see them first come through and first come over, then see a moment like that, like obviously it's their moment, but you do feel a little bit kind of like
like it's your moment too. And I think there's the beauty of professional wrestling. We all feel like it's a part of us. Like those moments are a part of us. So that's probably what we like to. Hear and see. That's great to hear fans feel that way about us when we do things in wrestling. So
was WWE always the goal? Was that always where you wanted to be?
When I first started, it was literally just to have one match. I was just like, I I remember watching, I don't know how I could take a powerbomb. I don't know how I could take a choke slam. I'll probably die. And then I started training and I was just like, you know what? I could probably have a match. And then I had one match and I was like, all right, maybe I'll have 10 matches. And then it was always goal driven and the steps kept like building up. Then I'll win a title. Then I'll go overseas. All of a sudden, WWE became a reality, and I was like, well, that was probably the goal. When I trained in Japan, I thought maybe Japan was probably the outlet, but I wasn't. And to be honest, though, I wasn't even, like last year in the UK, I wasn't even worried because the UK was doing so well. I had 4 or 5 bookings every weekend. Like, I was real busy all the time, and I wasn't even that bothered. And then WWE came around, and I was like, actually, that was the goal. Oh yeah, let's go do that. But I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just like, oh, okay, yeah. But yeah, so yeah, I guess it was.
I think what was really cool as well about the Royal Albert Hall shows is that obviously you didn't win the thing, but the way that you were featured in terms of the injury, carrying that to the next match, the stuff with the coffees, like there were little hints of what could happen when the show starts.
Yeah.
Little storyline stands put through and actually getting to see you as one of the guys they were putting in those positions must have been really cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To have a featured spot on a show like that was... And it really motivated me. I was like, I'm going to do such a good job. Like, oh, I'm going to try to do such a good job and hopefully the fans receive it well. But... yeah, it's been pretty surreal since the tournament. Just social media, like out in public in general, like just people noticing you and stuff. So that it's been pretty cool.
Did you have any awareness of the Royal Albert Hall, the history, that stuff when you came over? Because obviously, you know, yeah. British people know they know the proms, they know what that's about. But it's not necessarily for someone from New Zealand. Like, why is everyone having such a big deal about this?
I always had this joke that. Isn't that where Hitler's testicle is? And everyone's just like, it's just a song. I was like, I know. But I do know the history. I'm a big fan of like comedians and stuff like that. And everybody always talks about working the Royal Albert Hall and stuff. So to be the first New Zealander in 55 years to even perform at the Royal Albert Hall and then also main event it was pretty surreal. Also, it was the first time WWE been back in however many years. So... yeah, it's pretty surreal. And like after it happened, it's just done. But then you like think to all the history and everything that's come before it, and I'm like, well, that's pretty crazy what I've done. But I always try and stay humble and focused on the next goal. But it's nuts to think. And when people tell it back to me, I'm like, that's great. That's awesome.
In terms of for you now going forwards, obviously you're in here, you're involved in the TV. It's a shame about this first set, but do you have any goal in mind? You talked about those little goals going forward.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult, I guess. You're not in charge of what you do, but we were just saying with Zach, you've got to be the one badgering, you've got to be the one having those conversations. So do you know what you want to do? Is it get involved in the tag? Is it continue with the singles? What kind of...
Well, I think... if my independent run's anything to go by and my history with Pete Dunne is anything to go by, I would assume that I would like that for history to repeat itself almost. I really want the title. As I said, I like singles way more than anything, and I want to be a prominent player in the UK brand, and I want people to, you know, see me that way as well. So, yeah, definitely the title. 100%. That's my main goal.
We were joking last night. Do you think Americans think that New Zealand is part of Britain because of the smaller flag inside the flag? Have they got confused about it because we've got you, got Dakota over? I was just like...
Yeah. But the amount of people that said, he shouldn't be in the tournament. You know, it's part of the Commonwealth. I don't know. But yeah.
Well, I think you've proven that you deserve to be part of it, surely.
And I've been here for like 3 years, too. Hey, man, give me a break.
And what do you feel, again, I'd ask Zach about this, but what do you feel you've learned in these past 3 or 4 months since this has become a reality that you weren't bringing into your wrestling before that? Has it been, you know, a huge learning curve for you working with the guys like Matt Bloom and William Regal and Triple H, Shawn Michaels, guys like that?
I think if anything, is like it's kind of reassured what I was doing was right. Like the way me and Pete and stuff like would conduct ourselves in the independent scene was the right way to go about it, and it kind of led us to here. And obviously now they're just kind of polishing us and getting that indiness about us, I guess. out of us. But it's pretty much the same. Like, everybody's super happy with the way we work and stuff. But yeah, I guess the most surprising thing is that for the most part we were on the right course, or we thought the right way about things. So, yeah.
Has it in any way changed your approach the other way too when you're wrestling in the indies?
Not really.
That's fine. That's a valid answer.
Just go all out. Not really. I just when I go back, when I'm working independence now, I just try and part my knowledge of what I've learned here with the guys there, so that makes it easier for them to come up and hopefully make a career out of it as well.
And then we know that, obviously, from WWE and the great stuff with the Royal Albert Hall and everything is fantastic, but also you've just dropped your title in progress. There's a rather big show coming up at the end of September at Wembley, and there's this new situation that they're building with the three wins. So, I mean, sure, short-term goals, getting on that Wembley bill, I would have thought.
Yeah, short-term goals, definitely. And I'm sure, knowing myself in progress, I will find a way to get onto that Wembley bill, no doubt about it. Even if I have to beat up some crew members or hold progress at ransom, or I don't know, maybe they could finally give me that company car they promised me.
Right. So you can get back in there and get slapped around by Waterson. Yeah. More. That's the point.
Oh yeah, that's the end goal, isn't it? Oh no.
Brilliant stuff, Trav. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Nina Samuels, Travis Banks, both really enjoyable interviews. Let us know what you think at Pro Wrestle Show on Twitter. So on Tuesday or Wednesday this week, Wednesday this week, because we need to have seen SmackDown, we'll do a big SummerSlam preview, a big NXT TakeOver Brooklyn preview. Looking forward to a massive weekend of wrestling. Plus, we'll review the finale, the climax, if you will, of this year's G1 Climax. I'm really excited about Raw because Renee Young is going to be on commentary for the entire thing. How great is that?
I think that's a really good step, isn't it? And am I right in thinking that the commentary team for the Mae Young Classic isn't it Beth Phoenix?
Well, she does. Yeah, I know that Renee Young does the commentary for that. But yeah, alongside Beth Phoenix, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, she's doing Mae with Mauro, and it says she's doing Raw, which is really positive, and hopefully it goes well, and hopefully it becomes a more regular thing.
She was superb when she did NXT. She'll kill it at the Mae Young. She's going to be brilliant on Raw, and they should make it a permanent thing. We don't need Coachman.
Who would you kick off the panel? Like, if you had to kick someone off X Factor, and you're going for Coachman. Good.
Easy. That was an easy choice. Right, John.
Been the
I'm
coach.
I'm going to leave. You can do the shilling and say goodbye. And I'm going to say, love you, bye.
All right, bye-bye. Have you gone? Oh, he's gone. Good. All I'm going to say is the usual. Please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It does matter. It means that more people see the podcast. It means we get more exposure. We get better guests, and you'll enjoy the podcast more. Simple as that. And don't forget, one of our sponsors is Urban Species, who make amazing wrestling, but also comic book and just really badass t-shirts. So check out Urban Species. We've got a code on there, which will get you 10% off. It's Mark's 10. Simple as that. If you want to see some ideas of the t-shirt, have a look at our Twitter or our Instagram at Pro Wrestle Show. I've got an amazing Chris Jericho t-shirt. Will's got an amazing Royal Rumble t-shirt. And, you know, if you're going out to SummerSlam next weekend, why not look really cool in a nice t-shirt? That is literally everything for now. As Will said just now, we're going to do a massive show next week, previewing everything across SummerSlam weekend, and he's going to get a proper G1 chubby. Thank you very much for listening. This has been the Pro Wrestling Show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.